The Colorado River is one of the most engineered river systems in the world. Dams throughout the watershed create barriers and alter flows that make life harder for native fish. For decades, millions of dollars have been spent on recovering the river's fish species on the brink of extinction. KUNC's Luke Runyon has more.
In a small squat building near Vernal, Utah, fish biologists are attempting to make the Colorado River's endangered fish, well, a little less endangered.
And if you look down in here, you can see them pretty much bunched up under the feeder. And when they see you, they'll scatter.
Matt Fry is a fish biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He's acting manager of the Oray Hatchery. We're peering into a tub the size of a kiddie pool full of bony tail, so named for their slender, tapered bodies.
I call these guys my darling little divas because, you know, you really got to treat them with kid gloves.
A couple decades ago, bony tail were nearly extinct. And while hatcheries like this one have kept them alive, scientists still haven't figured out the best way to help them.
I mean, we know what we can do for them here in the hatchery setting. The big question is, what do they need out there?
And that's a question that Tilden Jones is trying to answer. He's a habitat coordinator for the Fish and Wildlife Service. We're on a bluff overlooking the Green River in eastern Utah. The river, a major tributary to the Colorado, makes a narrow U-shaped bend here, and in the middle is a wetland.
The river would come up and flood these areas regularly in the past.
This stretch of the Green, with its abundance of wetlands, used to be a haven for one of the basin's iconic fish, the razorback sucker. It spawns just before the river's annual snowmelt rise in the spring. Those floodwaters would carry the tiny, just-born fish into riverside ponds to grow. At that point, they look like a grain of rice with two black dots for eyes.
And the timing of those larvae hatching and drifting downriver is such that they would have made it into these wetlands and made it into these habitats.
But the Flaming Gorge Dam just upstream holds back those floodwaters, making the tiny razorbacks vulnerable to non-native fish that gobble them up.
But the ability of the fish to reproduce and survive in the wild is what really moves the needle from simply stocking fish in the river to having the fish functioning in the ecosystem on their own.
Since 2012, Jones says his agency and other partners in the Upper Colorado River Endangered Fish Recovery Program have focused on managing wetlands like this one. Canals move river water into the wetland, and metal screens keep out big predatory fish. After seeing some initial success in this approach, Jones's agency is proposing to move razorbacks from an endangered species to threatened.
But there's still some hurdles we have to overcome to get them to the point where they don't need our help as much.
Well, we're on the south end of the Matheson Preserve, which is a 900-acre wetland preserve.
After seeing managed wetlands work elsewhere, the Nature Conservancy's Linda Whittem says it made sense to replicate the idea on a stretch of the Colorado River near Moab, Utah.
Because right now, we're only getting flood events about once every 10 years. And that is one of the reasons why the fish are having such a hard time, is because the river is not able to create those habitats.
Along with the state of Utah, Whittem's group is wrapping up this multi-year, million-dollar infrastructure project. They're expanding a small pond and digging a narrow channel to connect it to the river during high water, making this a new endangered fish nursery. Zach Ahrens is with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources.
As they were in decline, this is one of the last places where wild razorback suckers were collected on the Colorado River.
Ahrens says areas to create these kinds of nurseries are limited because of how the river is mostly bound in tight canyons.
Hopefully, you know, with a hypothetical system of these sorts of wetlands emulating natural flow regimes, maybe we don't have to have hatcheries down the line.
That would be the goal. It's like you're letting the fish reproduce on their own.
Exactly, a self-sustaining population.
Yep. I'm Luke Runyon in Moab, Utah.